Hello and welcome to Crafty Hands Club podcast. I am your host, Carice Jefferson. This podcast talks candidly about all things jewelry making, including tips, techniques, trends, the latest industry news, traditions, self-care, and more. If you're listening for the first time, please subscribe to receive latest episode alerts. Crafty Hands Club can also be found on various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. Feel free to like, follow, or subscribe at any time. This episode is going to talk about common sense jewelry making tips if you are a beginner. And the reason for today's topic is because there's tons of accessibility out there when it comes to jewelry making. Everyone has their own method. Everyone has their own way of making jewelry. And it can be quite overwhelming if you are a beginner and you don't know which way to go and you're not sure where to get started. And even though there is a ton of information out there regarding jewelry making, there's still a lot of knowledge being sought out when it comes to DIY jewelry. And so I'm going to get right into some tips that'll help you along the way. Number one, you want to work on one thing, one design at a time. And the reason why you want to do that is because you don't want to, first of all, the brain is a CPU. So it processes, it protects, it downloads information that it receives all the time. And not only is that, the brain has a memory. It remembers the last time you attempted something, it remembers how you learn things and so forth. And because of that, you want to be careful with what you feed into it. The human brain can take on a lot, but there is a such thing as information overload. So imagine if you see 5 projects, 10 projects, 25 projects, and you say, you know what, I like them all, I'm going to get them all, I'm going to get all of this stuff that it takes to make it, I'm going to get everything, line it up, right, like lining up all your ducks in a row, right? Then what happens, you see all of this stuff, it's scattered, if you don't have it organized, some things are in bags, some things are on the table, the desk, or wherever you keep newly purchased items. And then you become overwhelmed. So you have all of this stuff, you spent all of this money, you don't know where to start. So by working on one thing and one design at a time, not only does that give you the ability to get it done, but it also allows you to focus on where you're strong at, what's your weakness, and not necessarily weakness, but areas of improvement, right? So as a beginner in jewelry making, there are some techniques that you're going to pick up right away, and there are some techniques where it may take you a year or two to get, and it's a fundamental, but it may still take a little bit of time to you to do that. So when you work on one thing at a time, one design at a time, you want to devote some time aside daily to master your craft. And it doesn't have to be a huge chunk of time. It can be 20 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. You determine how much time you want to set aside a day to just work on your jewelry making craft. And you don't want to fall prey to what you see in groups or on social media pages, hashtags, YouTube. you don't want to fall prey to that, because everybody is at a different skill level, and what you see is a beautiful design. That person that made that may be at an advanced level, and or might have been making that same design for like the same for the last 5 or 6 years. Another tip, be willing to make an investment. It's important to look at this as an investment, because when you're starting out, you can do things at a low barrier in terms of pick up items here and there, for price points and things like that. But the longer that you are engaged in jewelry making, you're going to have to spend some money. So create a budget, whether that's a weekly budget or a monthly budget. And one of the most effective ways to do this when you're creating a budget for your hobby is to withdraw some cash from the bank in that budget dollar amount and put it in an envelope and label the envelope hobby. That way you know the money is already there. And then also when you are out buying materials and supplies, then it stops you from overspending. It makes you conscious of how much money you're actually spending. This actually worked for me when I go to different shows for the jewelry making industry, and there are some things available for purchase. And at first, I would just use my card because it was convenient, everyone had the machine. But what happens is sometimes you can end up overspending because you see some things that's just not on your list. And again, bright, shiny objects, you say, okay, I want to try this too. But when you carry cash on you, a lot of times you might get items at a lower rate because you're paying with cash. And then also, when you're paying with cash, again, you're cognizant of actually how much money you spend, and you'll think twice before you make that purchase. You'll start saying, okay, is this something that I really need, or is this something that I really want? Is this going to go well with the other materials that I have set aside for this project? How does it fit in? What's the goal of this item that I'm about to make a purchase? And then there's a number of projects that you can do depending on your budget. So if your budget is $10 a week, one project a week. Or if you want to do a project that costs $30 to $35, then there's 4 weeks in a month. Most months, some months have five, that's $40. So even with that, you still can complete the project depending on your budget. If your budget is a little bit higher, and then that also depends on what type of jewelry making medium that you choose to do, because some mediums are more expensive than others. And then the reason why you want to make an investment is because free and cheap can only get you so far. You may look online, you may go to a store, and you see stuff deeply discounted, right? Well, there's many reasons why it might be discounted. It could be a faulty product, it might tarnish the bead. A lot of people have bought bulks of beads online and they receive them in the mail, and over 50 to 60% have been damaged. And because you bought an item that's deeply discounted or discontinued or on a clearance, there's no refunds, no returns, no exchanges. So you basically gave money for items that you cannot use. And then not only that, but sometimes when you are buying products, right? The people who are selling it to you may not necessarily be knowledgeable about the product that they're selling. So if you have questions or concerns, they might give general information in terms of pricing or description, but anything beyond that, they're not able to help you out with. So that's something you want to take into consideration when you see stuff that's free and cheap. And then sometimes there's groups, especially social media groups, where people buy, sell, and trade jewelry making supplies and materials. And the person that does it may, you don't know how they kept their materials and supplies. If you're allergic to pets and they have pets, then it comes to you and pet hair may be there. You're not there, so you don't know how they care for their materials and supplies. So that's another reason why free and cheap isn't always the best option. And then there are some products that are good, that's free and cheap, but again, it only will get you so far. It's going to come that time where you're going to have to make some type of investment. Also, don't bite off more than what you can chew. So there was a previous episode of this podcast where Lorenzo, he stated, before he became really good with wire jewelry, he tried beading and he realized that that was just not for him. Now, suppose if he just kept going on and on and on, trying to force it and trying to make beading be for him, asking everybody who makes bead jewelry, hey, how do you do this? Hey, what's your secret? Taking every class, buying all sorts of beads. Not only will he be out of so much money, but he will also be out of so much time. And it will feel like a slug every time he will attempt to make a project because it's something that he's not good at. So instead of focusing on what he wasn't good at and trying to improve that, he realized right away, this is where I'm good at. This is something that I actually enjoy. So let me expound on this. So to you, try different mediums. Like I would say no more than three at a time and see which one that you were. And that also goes into that budgeting, right? So let's say for 1 month, you set a budget for chainmail and you attempt a few chainmail projects. Or you set the next month, you set aside some money for palm with clay and you attempt that. And another month, you set aside some money for another medium. That way, you can see, okay, is this something that I like? What are some pros and cons? Is this something that I was good at? How many times did it take for me to try the project before I got it right? That allows you the ability to do that. Also, get familiar with terms and techniques. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen people post in a group, what do you call this? And what is this? What's that? Every industry, whether it's virtual assistants or zoologists, archaeologists, whatever, every industry has its own glossary. And in that glossary is the terms and tell you what it means. So spend some time daily, 5 or 10 words that's associated with jewelry making. Learn them. So that way, when you have a question, you could be able to articulate it and get the answer that you are looking for. Also, when you are looking to make a purchase, you're familiar with the term instead of being wondering, is this one supposed to get, or I'm not so sure about this. No, you know the term, you know the technique, you know what's needed. And then techniques, you can look on, you can look at different videos to get those techniques. There's plenty of articles, plenty of blogs, and so forth. So get familiar with the terms and techniques so that way you have that knowledge and you're able to make those connections once you have learned the jewelry making terms and techniques. And then once you make the connections, then you are able to implement those techniques that you have learned, because learning is just the first step. Once you learn something, it's time to implement what you have learned. If you don't implement what you just learned, then you just accumulated information souvenir. And the worst thing you can do is to be full of information and don't use it to solve a problem or move yourself forward. So, those are some quick common sense jewelry making tips for you if you're a beginner. If you have any comments or questions regarding today's episode, feel free to send an email to info@craftyhandsclub.com. Again, send an email to info@craftyhandsclub.com. To learn more about Crafty Hands Club, please visit our website, www.craftyhandsclub.com. Thank you for listening to the Crafty Hands Club podcast. Come back and join us next week.